Hey, it's Beth here. Over 65, still talking. Episode 164. Today is, if you can believe this, Friday the 13th, 2020. What could go wrong? Who could ask for more? Well, we are, because it's Kit's birthday. I mean, and he's 75. So it's a biggie. It's a whopper. And this is how it looks when you're hitting a birthday like that, and you've been married to someone for 44 years. And I even have upped it to amazingly beautiful, romantic, with my scurvy shingles. Shingles, it's shingles. Scurvy is a good word too. Shingles is a good word. And it's on my face and it's in my eyeball. So, I mean, I look fantastic. That's all. But I can't quite carry it. I can't pull it off. So it's not that attractive to look like a cyclops. And it is improving. I mean, it is a slog. I thought it was impetigo and pink eye in the beginning, so I missed my opportunity to take the medication that makes it a shorter life, a shorter, horrible, stupid life, virus life. And because I had the vaccine, which I thought, well, how could it be shingles, right? Well, it was, and I am a lucky one. That's what my doctor, my telephone doctor said, that it was very lucky. This was a mild case, easy for him to say. It's been hell on earth. So, you know, I'm really in the birthday spirit, you can imagine. And then when you get to be our age, is birthdays, if you're not lucky, after 75 of them, 5 years ago, his birthday bumped into a terrible thing, which is we lost our son, Brett. And it happened right around Kit's birthday. So it's tinged with that. And it's also tinged with all the people that aren't here anymore, especially him, but parents. And so when we sing the happy birthday song, you just think about the people that aren't there anymore. And to Kit's credit, he always smiles, and he always blows out the candle, and he always makes a wish. And it gets harder to do that. It really does. So we don't have grandchildren that probably make it easier to do that, because you're looking at something adorable. We're not in that world yet. So, and I'm sure it doesn't make losing anybody really important to you. I can't imagine it really makes it better. So that's what happens. And, you know, you just have to find ways around it. You have to be stronger. And it's not the birthday celebration that it used to be, but it's still something. So what I'm doing this year is I thought of something from our past, something that was beautiful. And it was the lie I told Kit, the whopper-sized lie I told Kit while we were dating. And I know that doesn't sound beautiful, but when I met Kit, I was engaged to someone else. I know that doesn't sound beautiful. This is, you know, give me a minute. And anyway, I really, really had the hots for him, like chemistry, pheromones, all of that. And it was wonderful and it was awful at the same time, because I broke up with my fiance that night because I didn't feel that for him. And I was afraid of getting married anyway, because people would say, oh, you have so much in common. You have like-minded morals, blah, 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 whatever, same sense of humor, blah, blah, blah. I was looking at the fine print. And the only thing that I couldn't do with anyone else after I got married, I couldn't have sex with anyone else after I got married. So I was worried about this. And then I met Kit and I was like, oh my gosh, this engine is on fire. This could last like 45 years, 50 years, but not the other way. I thought I could have been friends with somebody else, but I didn't want to do that to somebody, because what guy wants that? You know, so anyway, I thought I was doing the right thing. And I was alone on Christmas, because I wasn't dating Kit. I just knew that there was more to me, and I had to not give somebody less of me. I had to find this combination. Luckily, kid called me on Christmas, and that was great. And I was so excited because I really wondered if maybe he was the only one. So we started our conversation, like a 2-hour conversation, and immediately it goes from, you know, the patient takes a turn for the worst because I found out he was 9 years older and he was divorced. I mean, in my mind, I'm 21. I'm like, I don't know how to do this. So, and this just slipped out of my mouth. I lied through my teeth. I mean, the bad guano that came out, I could not pull it back in. I told him I was 24 because I thought 24-year-olds were sophisticated. I couldn't believe it. It was gone. It was out. No getting that lie back. So then I'm trying to have the rest of the conversation as a 24-year-old. Really hard. Luckily, our dating started at breakneck speed because I was like engrossed. That's a nice word for it. Parts of me were engrossed. Okay. Oh, that's not a nice word for it, but that's what was going on. So even his German Shepherd, male German Shepherd Thor, was impressed with me. I mean, it was like a dog. So things were going swimmingly in Kit's opinion. I mean, what guy doesn't want that? So it took a little while for the questions to start up again, but boy, when they started up and they seemed innocent enough. Like he would ask a question like, so what did you do after that? It was a leading question. I had no answer for it because those 3 years were blanks. I developed nervous tics. I mean, my stomach wasn't flipping all the time when I was with him. I watched his every move. I could almost tell when he was going to ask me another penetrating question like, so when did you graduate from high school? I hadn't worked this all out. And I mean, I asked him, what is this, Spanish Inquisition? I mean, he didn't know where that came from. I pulled it back. I was like, oh, you know, I'm 19. I just didn't know what I was doing. 4 long weeks, I went like this. I was writing like notes on my arms, trying to keep it straight. My dossier was 400 pages long by now. I'd never make a good spy. I mean, even Mata Hari, I couldn't even do it. I couldn't handle it. So you could ask me, why did you do it? Why did you lie? And I've asked myself this question a million times. The simple answer was I really wanted him to like me. But the complicated answer is I really wanted him to marry me. Like I wanted something so badly and I had never wanted anything so badly. So I thought the only way I could get it was to not be myself. I couldn't relax. Obviously, I couldn't be myself. I couldn't introduce him to my family. Now I couldn't introduce him to my friends. I was 24 years old. I couldn't be myself anymore. I was branded. I was a liar, like a gothic novel liar. And if I told him the lie now, what would he do? What would anyone do? I mean, you're allowed to be crazy when you're in love, but you're not allowed to be that crazy. So I kept lying. It got worse and worse. It just got worse and worse. To be fair, kid had other problems with me. Other red flags were going up. I mean, even though I was hiding this one, after 2 weeks of really great dating, he came up with the dates. They were great. He asked me what I'd like to do. Usually, I never answer that question because nobody really wants to know what I want to do. And what I want to do is always odd. But with kid, because we were getting close except for the big lie, it was so complicated. I told him the truth. I said, Ingmar Bergman's new movie is out, Cries and Whispers. And Bette Midler is coming to town. Now, it was 1975, and she was big in the bathhouses in New York. But she had one hell of a voice, and she was such a personality. So I thought this combination weekend would be fabulous. So he had to think about it. He had to really think about what kind of a person would want to see the most depressing movie that was ever made. And then on that very same night, see Bette Midler pop out of a flaming clam. What kind of a person is that? So he had his hands full. He really did. I was for sure. But I couldn't keep my hands off of him. And that was real. So, and I wasn't faking it. That was the part. See, it was like, I don't know when I'm ever going to be like this again. So I was really afraid I was going to lose him. The pheromones were talking. You know, okay, I am trying to validate my lie. And it was a whopper-sized lie. But I was literally cracking. I mean, I wasn't handling the pressure well. I wasn't learning to live with it. I couldn't really validate it. I couldn't do all the things you're supposed to be able to do when you're a criminal. I couldn't make it work. I couldn't even look him in the eyes. It was like a man on death row. I was losing it. The lie was consuming me. I mean, so we get to the Bette Midler concert, right? And I look around. I'd never seen, remember, it was 1975. I'd never seen anybody wearing a dog collar with spikes coming out of it and their hair all spiked up in pink. I never saw anything like this. Or a man with a pink leather beret and a pom-pom. This just wasn't happening. So the whole audience, except for Kit and I, were dancing on their chairs and flying into each other's arms. It was very dramatic. For me, I mean, I can't even imagine what it was like for Kit. You know, he's an electrical engineer at that time. So I don't know where he put this. And cries and whispers, he kept staring at me. Like, he didn't like the movie. I was like, you didn't like the movie? So this night was, you know, not going very well, but we loved Bette. We were in a great mood. So it really surprised me that in the very crowded parking lot, I mean, it was at Jones Hall, it was packed. The parking lot reverberated footsteps, just thousands of people getting to their cars. It just surprised me that when Kit asked me another trick question, this one was, would you like to get some ice cream? I cracked. I mean, I felt like it was a constant interrogation of what happened to those 3 years. Do you want ice cream? I burst into hysterics, crying, jag, like pure opera. The crowd, the dog collar crowd, stopped in their tracks. This was more dramatic than anything Bette had done. And I just screamed out. I wasn't even paying attention to the crowd. I screamed out, I've done the most awful thing. I couldn't tell you the truth. I can't tell you the truth. Well, the crowd was placing bets on what that might be. They were riveted. Kit's face was ashen. I'm still crying hysterically. I'm leaning on someone's car now. Through the tears, I said to him, I mean, I was really, really, really upset, like the end of my life upset. I was beyond overwrought. I was crying like ugly tears. Ugly, ugly tears. I'm practically doing it right now. And I said to him, I can't tell you even now. I can't tell you the truth. Kit just stood there. Everyone in the parking lot just stood there. I said, it's awful. I'm awful. Well, no one moved a muscle. Those words hung in the air on the sixth level of this parking lot. Hung in the air. Finally, he said to me, he held my hands, and he said to me, just tell me. I looked at him, and I said, I've been lying to you. Oh, the crowd loved this. I'm still lying to you. And I'm going to leave and I'm never going to tell you the truth. He just said, just tell me. I said, okay. I'm only 21. The crowd dispersed immediately, totally disappointed. Kit, on the other hand, looked totally relieved. And he said, I know 3 years have been missing from your life this whole time. He was so relieved. He thought I was married and had a kid, or something even worse. He thought I was married and had two kids. He was so relieved to know that I was just lying about my age. We got in the car, and he said, and I'm still crying. I'm still upset, like heaving. He goes, why did you do it? So I told him the truth. I said, because I really love you. And I wanted you to love me. I wanted you to like me. So that's why I lied. And I didn't want to lose you. So to his credit, to his amazing credit, he accepted that. And the most wonderful part is, he married me. We got married really fast. He put me out of my misery. It was amazing. I met his mother the day before we got married, which was a really good thing because I would have lied to her too. She was Presbyterian and perfect. But that was the last lie I had to tell because I got the job. I got the job I wanted. So I have to thank you, Kit. I mean, you saw this person who was going crazy and you put me out of my crazy. And I really, really, really am glad you're here because I honestly, truly believe that you're the only guy in the world that I could have had the revved up hots for. And I still do have those hots for you. So, happy 75th, and let's just keep it going. I love you. Bye-bye.